Bakers podcast brings the community to you. We talk to small business owners about work, life, and everything in between. Subscribe to Sellers and Makers podcast so you never miss an episode. Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers podcast, a place artisans can come together in community. Brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale, and today we are speaking with David Gross from Condi. David, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Hope, thank you for the opportunity. As I mentioned before, Soulmation is just so exciting for us. It's fun. And that's why we really got into Soulmation like 33 years ago, was because I saw it as just an amazing technology. And we've tried to exploit it. We're one of the few companies that we make many of our own products, and then we're a distributor for others. So for equipment, things like that, those are obviously made by other people. But some of the substrates we're involved in. So sublimation is a decorating technology, which we have our focus on. And sublimation decorating was probably first discovered around, we'll say, 1934-35 in the UK, when some scientists accidentally discovered that when you heated up some inks, and those were called dispersed dyes, they stained acetate material. Acetate was the film we used to use for slides under the projector. And they started exploring as to what had happened. And ultimately, it's sort of like gravity. They never really figured it out. But over these years, we've all learned to harness the power of sublimation decorating. And right. So the invention of polyester occurred just a few years later. It was very important for World War II, parachutes and all that. And then people started screen printing the transfers onto paper, and then using a heat press, they decorated fabrics. Right. Then they started printing the inks into printing presses, and then taking the paper and using a heat press, decorating the product that way. Spring forward to around 1981, that's the invention of the PC. And that's when people started saying, hey, you need a printer for your computer. And all sorts of technologies for printing came about. But ultimately, those early folks were looking to figure out how we could push sublimation into the digital domain. And they did it with the first ribbon printers. And then ultimately, it moved into inkjet. And in the inkjet world, Epson was really the favorite, because it had a printhead technology called piezo, which essentially vibrates the ink out of the printhead, where Canon and HP use something called thermal drop on demand. They would boil the ink. And so since these inks are heat activated, vibration is better. And then the sublimation revolution started happening. The biggest issue with sublimation was, coming up with things to decorate. And that's really where some very serious innovation has occurred. And now, today, we have just tens of thousands of things that we can decorate. You can decorate polyester thread. Now, the products all need to be light or white colored. Right. Because if it's dark, you can't see the sublimation. So sublimation dyes the product, in the case of fabrics. Mm-hmm. If you decorate, say, a coffee mug or something, the sublimation actually goes into the coating, and that makes it dishwasher proof. It makes it graffiti resistant. It makes it chemically resistant. So sublimation is the only thing on earth that sort of is embedded in the product. It's no longer on the surface. So the sublimation world today is extremely popular with ladies' dresses, cycling, outdoor apparel, you name it. So you can't feel it,
Right. It doesn't get crunchy. Like, yeah. Right. We've had, I have kids in school and, you know, sports and, you know, someone tries to get like a quick shirt together and I hate the feel when it's not sublimated.
Yeah.
It doesn't wash well either.
The other processes are surface decorating, mm-hmm. and that's like screen printing or transfer paper.
Right.
And those certainly have their place.
Right.
But sublimation embeds it in. Now, the thing about sublimation, we need to be transferring or decorating what we would call an oil-loving molecule. And polyester is made from petroleum. It's mm-hmm. actually pretty green product compared to cotton. Cotton takes a whole lot of water to make. And so polyester is actually a pretty green product. So if we've got polyester, that's an oil-loving molecule. Cotton is a water-loving. And so polyester shirts usually cost a little bit more. Polyester shirts, as you point out, they sometimes are equipped with moisture wicking packages, so they make right. they're very cool. Golfers no longer wear cotton products because they're too hot. And also polyester now can be loaded with a sun resistant package, PFP, I believe mm-hmm. is what they call it. And so it protects your skin or a baby or whatever from the sun. So sublimation really has grown up. And today, for very little money, you can buy a heat press, a sublimation printer with ink and substrates. And you're in business making products for really a minimal amount of money. A nice system, which is a little bit bigger printer, a little bit bigger heat press, certainly is under $2,000. So in the grand scheme of things, we're the best value with spending your hard-earned money.
Right. And that, I mean, to me, first of all, I've never heard it so thoroughly explained, like from the beginning to like the at-home printer. And I mean, all of those things in my mind, I've thought about them, but I've never just heard it so thoroughly. I mean, and that is, all of it is so interesting to hear put together like that. Like I've put my hands on sublimation before and all of that, but that just, that was
so really cool. And I have a number of books. You can buy them on Amazon, and they're focused on helping people be successful with sublimation. Mm-hmm. And one of the concepts I talk about is the three P's. Okay. Of sublimation. The first P is process. And, you know, we all need a computer. We need a printer. We need sublimation ink. We need sublimation paper. We need something to decorate. So that's the mm-hmm. process. And doing the process well is not hard, but this is where embroidery folks have a leg up on really the rest of the community, is because they're detailed oriented. And follow instructions. And so us guys, we're not so good at any of that. We don't typically follow instructions. And so if you give us three things to do, we'll just do the third, because the other two are just not really needed. And also us guys, when we make a mistake, we tend to want to throw it away. And in the world of sublimation, when you're learning, you need to understand why you made a mistake and how mm-hmm. you can keep from repeating it.
Right.
And that's where folks like embroiderers, again, have a leg up, because they want to study something. They want to understand how to do something correctly. And screen printers are often very sloppy. So they don't make good sublimators in general. But they've entered our market kicking and screaming, because people asking for sublimated products. So that's the process. The second P is product. We need something to decorate. And that's all we really care about, is the products that we can sell. Mm-hmm. We really don't care how we got there. We just want products we can sell. So second P is product. The third P is promotion. And our world revolves around sales and marketing. It's as simple as that. So we spend a lot of our time teaching what I would call the basics of sublimation sales and marketing. And I'll give you a couple examples.
Okay.
You buy a sublimation system, for instance. Well, the system is just going to sit there, you know. You got to use it. And really, it's just a money-making machine waiting to be used. And so you, the business owner, has to figure out things to do. And I would say that there's really sort of two ways you could approach sales and marketing. One is sell more products to your existing client. You know, show them new products, show them complementary products. It could be the same artwork. It could be just products you think they're interested in.
Right.
Could be,
you know, similar colors, but
they're getting something for a wedding. Well, you sell them huggers, you sell them coasters, you sell them stuff that you know they're going to be interested in. The second way I think is even more exciting in the sales and marketing process, and that is look for new markets. Step out of your comfort zone and create, we'll call it, multiple streams of income. I'll give you an example. So my dad was a veterinarian, 54 years. And so I was raised on dogs and we tolerated cats. and so we all know our love for dogs. It's intense. And so what I recommend every sublimator does, and I mean everyone, no exceptions, is everybody locates a pet groomer in their area and they forge a partnership with that pet groomer, because no one takes their dog to a pet groomer because they have to. It's all because they love their pet. They want them to look good. Mm-hmm. And so what you want to do is create a little display with a few products, and get the pet groomer to promote them. People will walk in. It could be a little sign. It could have a little QR code, go to a little website. But bottom line is, if you promote sublimation products to the pet groomer, people will buy it. Now, it could be products that are for the pet owner. It could be products for the pet, like a pet mat or dog collar, dog leash, you name it. We got lots of products. But bottom line is you need to do that. Now, most people probably would come in and they probably would buy a picture of a dog. Could be on a Chromalux panel, but they're going to buy a dog that's deceased. You know, it could be on a piece of our subless slate, because like me, they remember their dogs and they greatly miss our dogs. And so by you partnering with that pet groomer, what you've done from a business point of view is you have what would be called a wholesale fulfillment model, meaning they're doing the sales and you cut them a little bit of the profit. Mm-hmm. And then they're passing the order to you. You fulfill the order and then send it back to the pet groomer for the folks to pick up the product. It's just a tremendously good model. And we, through my books, through other things, we teach a bunch of these strategies so people can really grow their success. And you know, these kind of models are less work for you. You're not doing any selling. All you're doing is the initial promotion to the pet groomer, and they'll love you, because the only thing exciting that happens at a pet groomer is a dog bites somebody. you know, adding this excitement, it really can grow your success in your sublimation business.
And it seems like, really, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you have to put in a little effort in the beginning, but being there, I'm one of those pet owners, so I buy stuff for my dogs.
I have a 140-pound Saint Bernard, and he is a burning hunk of love. He is very large. He has a very sweet personality, and then we have his sister from a different mother, and she's a mixed lab, and she's just crazy. So they're like Mud and Jeff, if you remember that cartoon from many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, these are just simple ideas. You can read about them in the books. You can call Condi and we'll tell you about them. We got videos on everything. But the bottom line is sublimation is a tremendously good business to get into because it's got a low entry cost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's photographic quality, minimum quantity is one. And so, you know, it's a great business. I'll give you another example. And I call this the virtual inventory model. And many, if you were to go in your community, you're going to see some boutique shops, could be gift shops, but you're going to see them in there where these people go to market, say, twice a year, and basically, they have to buy fairly large quantities of products. Right. And really what they do is they hope they sell. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. What you need to do is approach these stores and pitch a, it could be a mug or something, could be a tumbler, pitch it with some sort of local design, something mm-hmm. that locals would find exciting or attractive. And you say, look, you know, I'll sell you as many as you need or as few as you need. And if they sell, well, I can sell you more. And so because all products start blank and then you decorate them as you need to. So right. there's really no need to put people under pressure to buy a lot of something with the hope that it sells. Yeah. And so selling to these boutique and gift shops is just a win-win. Another great product for those kind of people is you take, let's say, a text or vector design. It could be welcome to our home or something like that. And you allow the client who's buying the product to say, well, I'd like to add my name mm-hmm. at the bottom. There's a space to welcome to, in my case, the Gross family, mm-hmm. The Gross house, whatever. And so you're taking a standard design, something that's very attractive, and you're adding a component of personalization. So in my bathroom, for instance, where the guest would go to the bathroom, I have a sort of rectangular sign, and it says, it's gross not to wash your hands. And, of course, just play on my name.
Yeah.
So really exciting.
Oh, no, that's wonderful. And speaking of, like, I've seen here at boutiques, one thing that I seems like it's very popular, and it is sublimated, and it's coffee mugs, or I've mainly seen it in coffee mugs, and I know it's a local person. They do, the neighborhoods are on there, and it's the bigger neighborhoods, but I know I've personally seen so many people get gifts with these neighborhood mugs. I can't see.
So this is a tumbler. Mm-hmm. I did this. Mardi Gras is big in Mobile.
Yeah.
And so I did this a couple of years back. My daughter was queen. I think this is not for my daughter, but this is for last year. And put three designs on the tumbler. And yeah. I think it looks really good. And of course, with an attractive product, it's obviously worth a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So no, your idea of neighborhoods and mugs, that's a great product.
And it's, I mean, I feel like once you have it set up, it's easy to produce more. I've seen that, and I know that it's, I mean, I've seen several people have them as gifts. I've seen people buy them. I think that, yes. I think if you can come up with something like that to bring to a boutique, I mean, you're miles ahead.
Well, you can. And so all around us are opportunities for sales. Mm-hmm. And we just need to jump into it.
Right.
Another great area that I love to talk about is fundraising. If you've been around on this planet for a while, you realize that fundraising often is really a dull business. It's candy, it's popcorn, it's wrapping paper.
Right.
And none of those products do we really want. Well, why don't you go to the organization and pitch a sublimated product like a a Christmas ornament. Make one side for the person, could be mm-hmm. their pet, could be a grandchild, baby, whatever. And then the other side is for the organization. And that idea is stunningly successful because there's really no waste. Product doesn't get destroyed. It doesn't disappear. And there are ways to do it well, you know, with a website. And so the point is that fundraising can turn into being a very serious business for sublimators.
Yes, I can see that. And I can see how so many organizations would, honestly, if they got in touch with the right person or the right person came to them, like, I mean, more people would rather something custom. I feel like this day and age where you can pretty much order anything online, anything that you want, why wouldn't you want the custom and make it, you know, it's personalized, it's custom. Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You can give it as a gift.
Right, Hope. It makes a lot of sense to, you know, go down that personalization rabbit mm-hmm. hole because people want it. And,
right.
And sometimes, you know, it's one of those kinds of things where you're not sure if you should, but I think, if you're doing embroidery, sublimation is just a very complementary, technology. And
right.
again, it's just a tool to make products and it works very well. And, so I teach about how to match colors. Let's say you're doing some merchandise for a school. Let's say you've got some products into the spirit store for the school.
Mm-hmm.
Then you want to match your colors. And matching colors is, to me, is not obvious. The way you do it is you basically print a relatively large color chart, sublimate it, and then find from the school something that represents their colors and just go to the color chart, find the color that matches, and that's the color you want to design with. So it's actually easy, but many people will go through the trial and error process of matching color and it doesn't work. It's easy to manage a sublimation system from a quality and a color point of view.
Right. Because to print out the color chart, because sometimes I've been known to look at something on the computer and I'm trying to look at two colors and you have to print it out because the computer can distort, your screen could be dark and you not even realize it. Cause that's happened to me before.
To bleed to draw home the magic monitor from the store is crazy. It just doesn't work that way. Another great thing to do, cost a little money, is to get your hands on a Pantone solid coated book. And many organizations will specify colors using the Pantone mm-hmm. model. And it's going to be what's called Pantone solid coated.
Right.
And so you need that book to find the color, to know what it actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use your monitor for that.
No.
And what you do is you're going to map it to a color that's on your color chart, and you've nailed it.
Yes. And some of the organizations know their Pantone color, too, to be able to tell you. Some don't, but I do know that some of them know, especially now with so much of all of our marketing and everything going online, some of them do know what graphics, fonts, colors. They do have like the little merchandising.
Yeah, if you have a college in your area, could be a small college, could be a community college or larger.
Mm-hmm.
Very often that college will have what's called a crafter's license. And you can apply to get that crafter's license for very little money. Very little hurdles, and you can start making some merchandise with the college logo on there. And so I recommend that everybody inquire of their college, because many people, you know, they'll break the law, they'll start using something they shouldn't use, And often it's very easy to do it legally through what's called a crafter's license.
Well, yeah, that's really good to know.
And for instance, in this state, University of Alabama has a crafter's license. And where I went to school, Auburn, does not have a crafter's license. But, you know, you find out and you go from there. Also, if you're going to do fraternity, sorority merchandise, you need to have a license under that. Sometimes licenses require you to have a real business with a insurance policy.
Oh,
so,
insurance.
You know, it there are different hurdles for it, but I would at least check out and see what are the challenges for you to sell more. Going back to my first idea, and that is sell more products to your existing clients. It's sort of funny how our mind works, and I'll give you an example. So I had one time a company that was really, they had a laser, they did engraving, they did some embroidery, and people would come in and they would just buy the product or whatever. And one of the young ladies that was a part-time employee was ordering product from us. And she said, you know, I'd love to try some of your flip-flops. Could you send me a couple of pairs of those? And we did. And the owner of the shop looked at him and said, why in the world? We don't sell flip-flops. It's not something we'd ever do. And so the lady said, well, I'm going to decorate them anyway. And so she decorated them. And the next person that walked in said, I want those for our wedding. And so if you think about it, it's a very complimentary product for weddings. We live near the beach and, you know, the church is on one side, the beach is on the other. And, you know, you hand out flip-flops to the bridesmaids or whatever. But bottom line is you can quickly see the connection. And that's really the tip, is that you need to look at expanding your existing business,
right,
for the people, for the reasons why they're buying the embroidery product. You know,
mm-hmm,
could be sell them huggers for a wedding. Every wedding, right, every wedding has
everyone
huggers.
Yeah. You can't go to one without one, but people keep them and love them. Like I have some that are 12 years old easily, if not older. And yeah, everybody loves them. And then you look at them and you think of that wedding and you smile. And yes, I agree. And I think trying to find a full line for each event that you would be doing, whether it's flip-flops at a wedding, which is always a great idea, or you could bring that into, like, if you were doing anything for a gala or some sort of benefit that there's dancing for a long extended period of time, you know, flip-flops are always a nice option because ladies wear heels and then they start, you know, their feet are killing them. Been there. Yeah, you just think about the full line. And then, I mean, it's just going into all the different, you know, stores or local businesses and trying to work with them as well. I love the idea on the crafter's license because I have heard people ask about the if they needed a crafter's license or how to do school logos without getting in trouble for, you know, using their logo or taking it. And I didn't realize that there was specifically a crafter's license that you could apply for.
Asking for permission is always a wise thing. Getting right in writing. You know, when my kids were growing up, I always would ask the photographer at the baseball park, mm-hmm, may I use these photos?
Right.
So that's sort of just standard thing. One other idea here as we sort of finish up here,
mm-hmm,
and that is that there is a big market in what I'll call B2B products. You know, there's B2C and B2B. Mm-hmm. And the two do overlap, but right. one of the products that I recommend every sublimator produce is name badges. Now, name badges used to be the domain of these trophy shops. Right. Many of these trophy shops have retired or gone out of business. And so people really aren't getting a good quality name badge now. And frankly, they probably don't even know where to go. Well, sublimation produces the highest quality, the best name badge, period. There is no better technology because in subsurface, it looks really good. And so name badges are one of those products that typically you only have to sell one time and then they just place reorders. And right. so I teach sort of call it a PhD in name badge marketing. And I'll just share a couple of tips. One is when you're going to do a name badge, the first name badge should be for you. It should be something you wear, or your employees wear. And on that name badge, in every name badge you produce, you want to take, say, the lower third of the name badge, and you want to put a marketing message there. Ask me about the new interest rates, or ask me about our new cookies, or whatever. But you want to put something on there that really turns it into an awesome billboard, an awesome advertising message.
Conversation starter.
And it does two things. Number one is you're producing a product that has more value to your client. And then number two is they're likely to turn over the name badge more often as they have a new product or service that they wish to promote. And then the second tip is on the back of the name badge, you want to sublimate. And I just got hit by a telephone call. Let me go back to, can you still see me?
I can still see you.
Okay. So I'll figure out how to get back here. the next thing you want to do is sublimate on the back of the name badge reorder information. So that whenever someone wants to order more, well, guess what? They can easily do that by simply looking on the back. And yeah. it helps you because you can put a reorder code on the back so you don't have to ask them 50 questions about what the name badge is. So it makes reordering very easy. But more importantly, if an employee leaves a company, they're likely to take their name badge with them. And the new company might say, well, we don't have name badges here. Where do we go to buy them? Right. And they go, well, let me look on the back of my name badge because it has that information. So it's a great referral system. Right. And you should put referral information on all the products you produce. The next thing you can do on the back is you can put important information for the client. It could be a mission statement. It could be emergency contact information. You know, somebody forgets to lock the front door. Who do I call? But you can really turn the name badge into a very powerful stream of income for you.
I've never thought about a name badge containing that much, but truthfully, it could be, I mean, very easily all of, you know, it helps you engage with your customer when you have a question on there or a statement. It, you know, with the referral or important, pertinent information to the business. I mean, all of that is very interesting and such a great selling point if you're trying to get the business as well. Like, look, we can have all of this on there. And again, not something that personally, I didn't think of it like that. I mean, I've seen them like ask me about the chocolate chip cookies or something. I've seen that, but to have all of that information on the back as well, that's really awesome.
Yeah, when our kids were young, really young, I decided to make a name badge for the pediatricians group. And I found out who the office manager, in other words, the decision maker, mm-hmm. and I made her a name badge. It was a cute little kid's design. And I said, would you give this to so-and-so? and my wife did, and they immediately bought a very large number of name badges for their entire staff. I think the group had like 60 people in it.
I can imagine.
Then one day I took a reorder from these people and I made a mistake. Something happened and the blue that was on the name badge turned out to be a different shade of blue. And from that day forward, I created a mess because half of the group wanted the new blue, half the group wanted the old blue. And so it wasn't too much of an issue, but it was basically funny. And then I remember getting a call from another pediatrician's group where a nurse had gone to work for them, and they said, we want name badges too. And of course, the reorder information was on the back, and it was very easy. So name badges, if there was one product that I said sublimators should do, just one product, it would absolutely be name badges, because it is a easy business. You only have to sell the first one. And, you know, the way you do that is you drop off a personalized sample to the decision maker. And usually they'll buy it on the spot because that decision maker has a reputation. They need their employees to look professional, to look good. And right. If you're able to supply the product, they want to buy it.
That's a perfect, and that would to me be perfect. Like if you're starting out, just something simple, it doesn't cost much to buy the blanks. It doesn't, you know, that just seems like the perfect item to like get your toe in the water. Just start trying.
So to review, there are three markets that I say every sublimator should participate in, whether they want to or not. And the first one is the pet grooming market. The second one is the fundraising. And third is name badges.
Yes. Well, you told us all the secrets today.
We're passionate about what we do. And yes. We certainly enjoy working with your organization, the show. We had a great show, and we look forward to the next one.
Yeah, we're so happy that y'all came. You should have heard us squealing when we realized that y'all were coming. We were so pumped that y'all were going to be there. We're so happy that you came on today. Thank you for sharing all of this knowledge. And I hope you have a great day. And
thank you. And if people need to reach us, our website is conde.com. That's conde.com. And we have great reps. They're consultative. They'll walk you through the whole process. And that really is the last comment. Don't try to do things yourself. Rely on experts that are extremely knowledgeable on what you should buy. We're experts of that. We have the most experience of really any company in the business. And we're going to make sure that you're equipped for success.
And we will have the Conde link in our show notes. So if you don't remember it or have an issue spelling it or anything, it will be in our show notes for you to easily click and go straight to their website. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. It was wonderful. All of it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Follow us at Everything Embroidery Market on Facebook and Instagram for all of our latest updates. We will see you next week.